the word swim run can help people find something that they like that can make them feel good about themselves. That's a good thing, right?
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris. And this is episode 22 of our show. With us today, we have Erica Rosenbaum, who essentially invented the term swim run.
Visionary.
This was, I know I say this every week.
We're stoked on this one?
I'm super stoked on this one. And I just think it's a great interview, and I think people will really like it.
Every interview holds, it's like a parent with many kids, right? Everyone holds a special place in our hearts, right?
Yep.
And you'll hear it near the end, but this one really struck a chord with me personally. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, part of me was like, I think we're getting better at this interview business, but I actually think it was just Erica. It was fantastic. I don't think it was us.
She carried the weight.
It was all her.
So for shout outs this week, we actually wanted to shout out Ian from the UK. He has been sending us a couple really solid emails. Great feedback. Give us a history lesson of what the swim run scene in the UK is like, what he's up to this summer, what his family's doing. Just really appreciated that and just wanted to call that out and say, thanks, Ian. We see you, and we're still trying to read through very lengthy emails, which we definitely appreciate. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and so this week, in lieu of a training update, we wanted to make a statement just around everything that's been going on in the United States and actually around the world with all the protests around what happened to Mr. Floyd in Minnesota. We don't have all the answers. On this show, we try to have a lot of fun, and we're essentially dedicating our time to talk about a hobby. But there's a lot of big things happening. And speaking for Chipper and myself, there needs to be justice, and it needs to be fair. And that's not something that's been available to a lot of people. And we stand with them, we fight for them, and we cry with them. So we'll get back to our regularly scheduled programming, but we just wanted to just say we're in solidarity with everyone that's hurting right now, and we just hope that there is something at the end of this that is more equitable and more just. So with that, I think in many ways, Erica is the perfect guest to have on the show because her energy is so positive. She's such an ambassador for the sport, selfless. And I look forward to someday going to do her race.
Hella swim run.
Yes. And you'll hear about that in the show, but this is a great interview, and we hope you enjoy it. With us today, we have Erica Rosenbaum from Stockholm, Sweden. After starting a family, Erica started running in 2007 to get back into shape. She found running, and it turns out that she was really good at it, and then turned to triathlon and raced her first Ironman in 2010 after mastering the Olympic distance. She has since raced over five Ironmans. I don't know if I got that right, and over 10 swim... Eight Ironmans and over 10 swim run events. She raced her first swim run race in 2011, and she just loved that race. She came home after a podium finish and thinking how this activity needs to be available to everyone, not only to long distance athletes. So she said that this has to be a sport and it has to be called swim run. First, she thought that swim run as a name was really corny, but she just kept saying the word over and over, and about after 100 times, it became to sound more normal. She then sent invitations to an event in Hellas, which is a national park in Sweden called Swimrun Hellas, and made the course and started to bake for the participants. The first race was in June of 2012, and many of the competitors that showed up to that event are still racing, and it's an amazing community. She now races marathons and swimrun events with her daughter Maya and hopes to race the Utala World Championship with her one day. Erica, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, we're really excited to have you. Totally. Not only have you coined the term swim run, but you're an amazing athlete. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you discovered swim run and what were you doing at the time when you did your first event in 2011?
Yes. Oh, 2011. Almost 10 years ago, I was in the middle of my crush in Ironman. And I heard about this race, Ö-till-Ö, about 75 kilometers. And I just realized that I really enjoy what I seem to, what I think is impossible when I hear it. And I mean, if you hear that you're going to swim and run 75 kilometers, it sounds impossible. So I was like, that's a race for me. And I did one, and I absolutely fell in love because it was also discovering the Stockholm Archipelago that, I mean, I hadn't really experienced the archipelago so much, but I was like, oh, this is my way of exploring the nature here and have this, it's such a nice co-working with the nature. And I just love that activity that we did when we were swimming and running. And then I was also really happy that, I mean, all the triathlons, is so much gears and all these things that can go wrong with a bike and everything. So I was like, oh, this is so great. I can never get a flat tire with this this race. So I was like, great, perfect. But I mean, Ö-till-Ö, it's like for long distance athletes, and it's really an extreme race. So it's not really available to people. And I was like, this should be like running, that you can just go out. I mean, in Sweden, we have water that we can swim in everywhere. I mean, just a few minutes wherever you are, you can just reach water. So
yeah, we actually see that in all the photos of people on
ladders
Instagram.
Ladders going into the ocean.
Just yeah. Like, yeah, they're just the park and then just jump into the water, exactly. Swim across to the other side of the park.
It's everywhere.
It's pretty amazing.
Sounds like it's the perfect country for doing this activity. And I mean, it was only one race having this activity. And I was like, this has to be available to people, for more people to discover. So it has to be a sport. And it's going to be called the swim run. But I was like, run, swim, run. And I was like playing with the words, and I ended up with swim run because I thought everything sounded corny. So I was like, but if I say it 100 times to myself, it will probably, I mean, I just decide it's with words. Eventually they get normal. So I was like, okay, let's take this. And, I mean, it turned out to be a good word that people wanted to use.
I mean,
it's a very good word.
we love that word. But yeah. before we get to that, so who did you have as your partner for your first Ö-till-Ö?
My first Ö-till-Ö was Jenny Widarsson. I had to talk her into it. She was like, "Oh no, I don't know," but I pursued her to do it, and she was really happy. She said yes, because I think she's done it after as well. But then she hurt her foot the year after, and I had my spot for the following year, 2012. So that's when I decided to go with my teammate, Thomas Ogander. 2012, and he had done it before with his other teammate, but he was like, yeah, let's go mix class and do this. Nice. And we were friends since before, and it was just an amazing time. So we did four races together at the World Championship, and then we ended up at the podium two times. I've been third three times. Yeah.
In mixed?
First year, we got in third place, me and Jenny. And then, awesome. Yeah. And then me and Thomas, we got the director's choice spot at 2012. No, 2013, nice. I think, because first year we weren't at the podium. And then we came to the podium 13 and 14.
Well, if you're getting on the podium, I don't know if you really needed the director's choice. It sounds like you could have made it there on your own accord, I guess.
Yeah, probably, but I didn't have this. It was when they started with the qualification.
Right.
And this lottery, what do you call it, lottery? Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, lottery. That was when I had coined the word swim run. So I think Mikke and Mats thought that it's a good choice to give the director's choice to me and Thomas for.
So let's talk about that, because this is something that I find really fascinating, right? Like, agreed. It's almost the opposite of what Iron Man did, where trademark the name, don't let anyone use it. This is like a revenue source for them. When you came up with the name, and I'm assuming you had a conversation with Michael and Mats about it, can you tell us kind of what that conversation was about? Because in the end, you ended up just open sourcing the name of the sport.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, you can have your own brand names like Atala or whatever.
Yeah.
But can you just tell me, can you just explain what was happening?
The process was that I was sitting all alone when I just, it's going to be called Swim Run. And I print up my own posters, Swim Run, welcome. And I did all these events. And I was thinking about how if I was going to trademark it or not. But then I was thinking, if I'm trademarking it, no one wants to use it. Or first of all, I wasn't thinking about that anyone else would want to use it. I was like, this is the perfect name. I'm going to have it, Swim Run. It's perfect. And then it was some guys, they were like, no, it's called Aquathlon or Amphibia Running or something. I was like, well, feel free to use your own words for this. But right. I think Swim Run is the perfect word. And I'm going to keep on using Swim Run. And then Mikke contacted me and asked, can we use your verb Swim Run? And I was like, of course. I'm just, oh, that's just so nice that you like the word as well as I do. And some other races contacted me and asked, can we use Swim Run? Yeah, of course. Feel free to use it, because I think it opens up it's more available to people to start doing something if you can call it something. I mean, it's
absolutely,
it makes it more easy if you have a word for it. And if I was going to trademark it, first of all, it was going to be such hard work just to guard a word. And if people like to use it, it's just better that people have something that we can call the sport, because it opens up all these opportunities and makes it more simple to do the sport if you have a word for it. And otherwise, it was going to be, I think it was going to be hard, you know, to explain. Okay, we're going to go out and do this activity where we, and then you have to use many words.
Yeah.
It's already hard to explain, right? People already think you're crazy. It's like, what, you're going to do what now? You could be back in 7 hours? Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to do swim running and it's perfect. But then I couldn't imagine that it was going to be so. I think 3 years ago, Mikke said 452 races around the world uses the word swim run. And they do it thanks to Erika Rosenbaum. She came up with the word for our beloved sport or something. And I was like, oh, that's 3 years ago. So much has happened since then. I wonder how many, I mean, or races and groups and that uses swim run. It's like, it's everywhere.
It's a phenomenon.
Yeah. And I think in Catalina, Mats or Michael said 1,500 something races a year now.
1,500.
on the globe, including the United States. Obviously, there's probably 40 or so races in the United States, swimrun races. So, yeah, and what a great story and history lesson. I mean, I'm just kind of sitting here like you feel like you're in school where the history teacher's telling you about the origin of something that you care about so much. But you really, I guess we really appreciate your openness, and it just seems so true to the whole sport of swim run and the community that you just kind of let it exist and you didn't try to make a dollar off of it or whatever. It's just so, it's like, of course it happened that way because that's how everything that we've experienced in the community has been like that.
Exactly.
And it doesn't surprise us that you just let it be used, you know, for free, sort of.
Then it has to be what you truly feel. And I was like, I'm not, of course, I mean, it's nice to earn money, but I'm not interested in earning money that way. It's better to, I work a lot with running, and I'm a running coach and everything. And I'm just, the best thing about being a running coach is to see that glittering in the eyes of someone thinking that they did something good and they feel proud about themselves. So if the word swim run can help people find something that they like, that can make them feel good about themselves, that's a good thing, right? So
yes,
love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's much better than trying that to earn money on a word.
Just to echo what Chipper said, what Chipper said, it's so sort of altruistic of you, but also kind of emblematic of what we've experienced in the sport. Now, you've been in the sport for a long time. Like, how do you see it? Are you happy with sort of the evolution of Atala having more races? You have your own race. Do you like the way the sport has been growing?
Yeah. It's so much fun to see all this racing just popping up everywhere around the world. And that sounds like, I think we all the time need to find out more ways to work out just to keep our minds happy and healthy and be in nature. And this is a great way because it's not that difficult to people to try it. So it's just lovely. And I think, I mean, Atala growing so much, it's just so fun to see. And but I want to do all the races, but it's gonna take me a few years to have time to go everywhere. But they do it so great. I mean, Mats and Micke, they are just the best organizers. Just always, they see each and every person racing and being close to the race, and they are just, they are like, they look at all the people racing as customers, and they have to deliver good service and good experiences, and they do it so great. And that's just so nice. It's a respectful organization.
I definitely get that sense, right? I mean, we experienced it firsthand with our first Atala race in Catalina earlier this year, where the attention to detail was amazing. And yeah, you just really felt like they just really cared about everyone having an amazing experience.
We did play, or Chris made kind of a joke to Michael
at the finish line?
Because when we did Catalina, I'll let you tell the joke, but I'll set it up.
Okay.
So at Catalina, the race that we did in March 1st or into February, we were told there's going to be lots of buffalo around. I don't know. Do you see buffalo? I guess they're not in Sweden walking around very often, but they're not on islands especially. So we were really looking forward to seeing some, and we were making a lot of memes and jokes about it.
Yeah.
But then almost the second when we crossed the finish line, we got our big Michael hug, and then Chris said.
So I told Michael, and I really had no business telling him this joke because, I mean, I just met him a couple of days before. He was very nice, very, you know, he's like, oh, the Low Tide Boys, I've heard of you.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for making fun of Atala. And so I was like, I have one complaint. And he looked at me very serious, like he was very concerned.
We just crossed the finish line.
Just crossed the finish line. And I was like, I didn't see any bison. And he, just the look on his face, I realized that I shouldn't have made that joke because he was genuinely concerned because he thought
that,
I had an actual, he thought I had a real complaint.
Not a joke.
And he wanted to hear it. So when I said it was, I didn't see any bison, he was, you know, he sort of softened up and, you know, he gave me another hug and just kind of like, get out of here, basically.
Yeah. He's so nice.
We totally echo all your thoughts there. I am really curious. So you have done a lot of racing. You're very...
I was supposed to go to Catalina, but I had to... My oldest son got diabetes 1, so we had to change our plans everywhere. But me and my daughter were supposed to go to Catalina and do the race, but next year.
Yeah, next year.
Yeah. Well, sorry to hear about your son, but...
No, he's fine.
Yeah, let's get into sort of your evolution as a swim runner. You went from doing a female-only team with your friend Jenny and then Thomas, where you're successful both in the mixed category and female, which is obviously pretty awesome. So I'd like to hear about how do you kind of transitioned, or was it your daughter that kind of came and said, hey, Mom, I want to start doing this with you? Or how did that whole situation come about racing with your daughter?
With my daughter, I think all the time since my children were small, we've been working out together, running intervals, I mean, being outside. And Maya, she started go swimming with me when she was like 11, 12, maybe. And I was like, she also started with triathlon. Yeah, except I forgot that. She was like 12, 13 or something. And then she came along with me to my swimming group several days a week. And I was like, don't you want to find like people in your own age to work out with? And, you know, I was like, nope, this is fine. So she came along with me and my friends, and she was running along with me and my friends, and she was swimming along with us. And it was like, I mean, she's like my best friend. So for me and for everybody, thought it was kind of normal. And
she's like a teenager at this time? Sounds like 12 or 13, or is she a little bit older at this time when she's working out with you?
Oh, she's done it all the time. I can't remember. She maybe 11, 12. And then I think was 14 when we did our first final 15. And, you know, the sprint. Atlas sprint. And then we came up third in the podium. So it's like, wow.
Wow.
That seems to be a magic number for you, Erica.
Yeah, I know. Third, it's a magic number. And it was like, and she really got, oh, this is so much fun. We have to do this more. And I think she really, I mean, it meant a lot to her that we did so well the first time. So, and then we do it as a... one or two times a year since then. Maybe we've done it another sprint as well, the Ute sprint and the final 15. And we brought our tent. So we did all this, you know, fixing dinner by the water with a tent and, you know, sleeping outside. It's been a small adventure each time.
So it sounds really fun. And Chris and I are both young. Or, I mean, I guess...
You're young.
I guess we have young families, I'll say. We have daughters raised... Our daughters are three... Wait, no. Sorry.
My daughter's going to be 4
and my daughter's going to be 5 in a couple months.
Oh, that's nice.
And then we each have sons that are around a year-ish.
Yeah.
So we're a bit off from swimming with them quite yet, but they do like racing us around, and we chase them plenty. So I have hopes and dreams of a situation like yours where my daughter wants to hang out with me.
Yeah, it's so nice because you can swim put them in these small, you know, the boats that you, with the plastic boats you can have children in when you you play around in the water. What you call those?
Oh, those, like a canoe or something?
No, the small boats that would, you blew up them. You blew them up.
Oh, inflatable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I put all my 4 children in some kind of, and then I tied them on my back so they could come along with me, and I dragged them when I was swimming.
You just pull
so
them around.
They could like play, and I was swimming, and they could swim along, and then they could go in the boat. So that you can start with bringing them.
Now
in
I
the
see
boat.
Why
I'm getting
why
ideas.
You're so good is because you've been doing resistance training with 4 kids swimming around the the Swedish waters with them. So that makes a lot of sense now. When you do a swim race, it's, you're not you're not tugging anyone along. So no wonder you're so fast.
Exactly.
That's really funny. Erica, let's talk about Hellas.
Hellas.
I want to know everything about this event.
Oh, it's so nice. It's really friendly and nice. And I was like, when I came up with the word swim run, I was like, okay, this is swim run, and swim run is the race in Hellas. So I got some friends along, and we made up this course about 4 kilometers with you do 2 laps. So it's totally of 8 kilometers.
And each lap. This was essentially the first short course swim run event.
Yeah, exactly.
So Otolo didn't offer a sprint or an experience distance at this time?
No, that's a few years later.
Okay. And you're thinking to circle back to the beginning of the show, you were saying you want this to be accessible to all people. So that's the word, but then accessibility is also not everyone can run 75K.
A small race as well that you could do 1 lap or 2, but you could try equipment can try the sport or you can do this really hard workout. So the funny thing is that the racers in my race, Swim on Hellas, were like those girls and guys winning the Ötele World Championship next to people. Oh, I want to try the swim run. It seems like fun. So it was like these different levels. It was more like a training race. So you could have it. So it wasn't, take that seriousness off. So because some people can get scared about, now it's race.
Totally.
It's like about winning and everything. It's like, no, this is training racing. You can have your time and you race maybe for yourself or just to be better or, you always get more effective
It seems genius to me because, I'm just going to say that I think that obviously your background in triathlon, where there's multiple distances or sprint, Olympic, half Ironman, full distance, you really get like a sort of, you can have an evolution within the sport. And in swim run, you really didn't have that. So almost having these training races was sort of the equivalent of a sprint distance or experience or whatever you want to call it. And that's really, I'm just going to go out and say it. I think that's probably one of the things that led to the explosion of the sport because it just became that people could do it and fall in love with it. And our first race was really short and we fell in love with it.
Exactly. So it makes it available to people. I wanted to be a night each week when you didn't have to, people don't have time to have a social life and to work out and running. And it was like busy for people to have the time. So I was like, this is social sporting. Let's do some social sports. So, before social sports is like watching sports in the bar. No. We do social sport. We meet up, we have fun, we talk, and it's a bakery and coffee after, and the prize ceremony. And it's like, if you're a beginner, you can ask the professionals about the equipment, or if you get some, you can get the tips, or you can all that thing around the race was important.
You are. Erica, you are you're the spirit of swim run. I'm going to say that right now. You are the spirit of swim run. I am curious, what kind of baked goods were you making? I haven't had breakfast yet, so I'm a little bit hungry.
Chipper is an amateur baker.
I mean, it's like I put everything in those, a lot of butter and sugar and chocolate and
I'm booking my flight.
Everything.
We're looking up flights now.
Caramel. It's like,
wow.
They are great.
What's the big, is it a scone or what is it, like a muffin or something?
No, I do a big one and then I cut it into pieces. And I always bring as much that so everyone can eat as much as they want.
Yeah. I don't know if we have, anyway, we don't need a, this isn't a baking show, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I'm honestly almost speechless about just your...
That's
your,
rare that yeah, Chipper can be speechless.
As you can tell. At your just general, you're just such a awesome human being.
No.
And the way that you put the sport out there like that is just so great. And it reminds Chris and I so much of our first swim run experience was this really small race in San Diego. Oh. And there was people there that just showed up with just their like swimming trunks, not like a what you would wear in the pool, but kind of what you would wear on a boat. And then also there's people that had done the Otolo World Championship right next to us that obviously, you know, shot out of a cannon way ahead of us. And we were kind of somewhere in the middle, like, this seems cool, but we, you know, we have some gear, but just the accessibility and lowering the barrier to entry and really stripping off the intimidation factor is just so, I mean, awesome.
Yeah, it's a welcoming sport, isn't it?
Yes.
It really welcomes people and everyone can, you know, feel welcome in this sport.
In that vein, you're obviously very central in the story of the sport, but how do you think the sport is going to continue to grow into the future? Do you think it's going to stay as amazing as it is? I mean, there's a lot of people that really care about it staying amazing.
Yeah. I think so.
But what do you think?
I think we're only in the beginning. I mean, also triathlon was something that was really rare, like 15 years back, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And it's grown. So I think Ötlö will be like the Ironman brand eventually. And then probably some like... what's the other names of the triathlon organizations?
Challenge.
So, I mean, it's good to have several actors in the arena, but I think Ötlö will be the Ironman. Yeah, the always the king. I mean, they do it so well and they do it so thoroughly and like in the long-term thinking. So I think we're in the beginning of the sports swimrun history.
Well, that's exciting because we're on the ground floor with our little show trying to raise awareness about this amazing sport.
Yeah. So much fun. And it's going to grow. I mean, like running. I mean, it's just an activity that everyone can try eventually because everyone can run and everyone can swim, but you can always get better and you can explore more places and you can, you know, go further or shorter or, you know, whatever you feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've done a dozen-ish, give or take some races besides Swim Run Hellas and the Otolo World Championship. Which race really do you have a strong pull to do over and over and over? What's your favorite race?
My favorite race, of course, is Otolo World Championship. I mean, it's really something special. So I would really like to do that one again in a few years with Maya. But then I'm so curious in exploring, because I mean, me and my husband, we can go around and do marathons like in France or England or whatever. So I was like, that would be so nice to explore other places in the world through swimrun as well. So I really want to go to Catalina. I want to go to Croatia. I want to go to and do the races abroad.
Mm-hmm.
That I
so your vacation schedule sounds like your swimrun schedule.
Sorry?
Is how you want to align it? You want to make your vacation schedule and your swim run schedule be the same thing?
Yeah, and with a few marathons in between so I can also travel with my husband.
Oh, so your husband's a marathoner?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes we are. and sometimes we're not. but he's also a runner, yeah. But we're both sometimes, oh, this is so long distance. Let's do 10K or half marathons for a while. Yeah, okay, good. but so, from time to time.
Totally.
But one thing that I, one race I haven't done is Swim Run Hellas. That's probably
right, because you're the race director.
A race I should do sometimes.
Is it easier in Sweden to get, or do you need, I mean, over here in the States, you have, there's a huge permitting process about, yeah, you know, you have to make sure that you get the right permits from the government and everything to set these races up. Is it a little easier to get that done in Sweden, or are you, let's say, maybe doing it kind of more under the radar, low key, maybe with that you don't have to worry about getting all the permits and stuff. It's just a small group, like a training thing.
It's probably not as hard as in the US, but it depends on the size of the event. So my Swim Run Hellas, since it's a training race, and there's not hundreds of racers. It's, mostly we've been like 99, I think. And then like last week when we started up, we're like 26 the next week. And so it's like, you know, it's a training race. But now I think, I don't know if you saw that. I think you commented on that it's a permanent course now in Hellasgården. My race, yes. My course has been, do you call
That's
it
awesome.
Permanent?
Yeah, well, it's like a trail. Like,
yeah,
now
it's
like
a trail.
Official,
and it's
official
a marked
course.
Trail with a map.
Yeah.
So now it's the first swim run course trail that has the permanent marks. So that's really fun that
so
Stockholm
cool.
and all the instances that are involved would like to, you know, that they thought it was a good idea. That's really so. Now it's even more available to people because now they can go there without me.
Yeah, anybody, maybe Chipper and Chris could maybe go out there and just, you know, punch it up on a map and just go do it.
Yeah,
it's great.
Of course. There are maps all over. You can just go there and you follow the pink arrows. And I was like, I'm so glad it came in pink because it's my favorite color.
It's great. Yeah, that is great.
So it's available. You can go there now. Anytime and do that Swim Run Hellas, and you know, if you want to try the course before and then come to my races on Thursday in June and August, and or if you don't have time at that
so
at
if,
time.
If someone wanted to register for Swim Run Hellas, and so it sounds like it's a weekly kind of training race in July and August, okay.
In June and August.
June and August, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Where would they go to sign up for that?
They could either go to race.se and search for Swimrun, where you can fill in registration, or you can go to just the word Swimrun in Facebook. I mean, since it was nothing else called Swimrun at that time, I have the Facebook page called Only Swimrun. And
awesome.
And I have also, of course, my homepage, swimrun.se.
Okay, that's good to know. Great. And then you're on Instagram as well. I've seen.
Yeah, Swimrun Hellas.
Yeah.
Original.
Yeah,
race.
We'll link all that in the show notes. Erica, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us. This has been one of my favorite interviews. I know I say that
so
a lot,
nice.
But
so happy
but this
to.
It always seems to happen where you know it's just great to get to know you a little bit and. We look forward to meeting you in person, maybe at Catalina 2021.
I really look forward to meeting you.
Well, I feel like we need to give you a big hug.
Yeah,
because
big hug
of all that you've done for the sport. if hugs are okay next year, the Low Tide Boys will give you a hug if you're okay with that.
Yes, I'm okay with that. A big swimmer hug.
Paddles and everything.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. And both of us, we just want to say thanks again for all your contributions that you've made to the support to the sport.
Thank you.
And lowering the barrier to entry and making it super accessible and friendly and not intimidating. It's just so awesome for the growth of the sport. and you're doing really amazing work, and thank you.
I mean, there are so many people next to me doing everything amazing about swimrun. So I'm just a small part, but thank you.
Yes. Well, on that note, thanks again, Erica.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave a review on iTunes if you're so inclined.
You can also sign up for our newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, drop us an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Writing Easy Records for our show music, and of course our wives for their support and tolerance of our swim run activities, hobbies, and other bullshit we do.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
And then a run.
And then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then run to the finish line and just keep going until you're done.
Yes. Or
until you cross the finish line.
Or run to the car.
Or run to your car.
Somewhere. Just keep running. Peace.